I don't even know what episode this is, but welcome back to the Northern Nerdcast. We have a lot to talk about today. So let's just do a brief synopsis of the episode, if you will. So about an hour ago, PlayStation finally announced. It was kind of just put out as a tweet, and it was really weird. Project Spartacus is not actually called Project Spartacus. It is called PlayStation Plus Essentials. So this is the rumored Xbox Game Pass killer, quote unquote, for Spotify. Before we get into that, joining me as always is my co-host with the mo-host. That made no sense either. Clayton, welcome back, man. How are you enjoying Guardians of the Galaxy?
That's awesome.
I told you it was a great game.
The gameplay is like a solid B, but the writing and the voice acting is like A all the way.
Well, so just some news about that as well. I had messaged you with, I don't know if you saw the message, but I've got John McLaren, Star-Lord, is down for coming back to chat with us. Alex Wiener, who voiced Rocket Raccoon, is down for coming on. I reached out to Kimberly Sue, who played Gamora, and Jason Cavalier, who is Drax. Robert Moncom, who plays Groot, isn't actively on social media. So John had said when we get everyone together, he'll fire a message to him to get him on. But hopefully we'll have the entire cast on so that we can talk to them. maybe instead of a shout out, we can get like one of those group huddles where they're like pumping up the nerd.
Yeah.
Guys, let's flark and do this.
Yeah.
But
I know I was thinking about
it. It's so fun.
I was thinking about that. Well, I showed you a picture there yesterday of
I tagged them in it. So we'll see if what they say.
Yeah, Drax sitting on board the Milano reading Sarcasm for Dummies. I was like, all the little things like that just make it a real joy to play. And the constant banter too. As long as you don't stay in one place for too long, because then they start repeating themselves.
Yeah.
But if you know you're doing good at the game, if you're motoring through and you only hear every quip one time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody killed it in their acting. Like,
For sure.
Well, obviously, because three of them have been nominated at the Video Game Awards there and that are coming up in England. I think it's BAFTA.
Yeah.
So John McLaren, lead performance for Star-Lord, and Alex and Jason for best supporting cast for Drax and Rocket. So
Rocket's awesome, man. The rage.
And the writing for Drax was so well done. Like
I'm not
you're not in this area yet, but we had talked about it when John and Kimberly were on the show. Just some of the lines that he delivers is just like, I don't know why, but it always I always go back to they're their own original characters for the game, but it always just how Drax is reminds me so much of Batista's Drax. Not really, maybe autistic, but you don't know, it's never really implemented that, but
it's his culture. I think it's his culture. He says, so one time he says, we're in a place between two rocks. Star-Lord's like, you mean a rock and a hard place? Yeah, that's what I said.
they just make
me laugh.
There's a really big what's meant to be an emotional scene that's coming up, and you're really invested in it, and then Drax says something and it just just makes you laugh. It's like, wow, they took that very touching moment and just Draxified it. So
perfect.
But
it's awesome. It's funny though, because I was playing it yesterday and the kids saw me and they're like, what are you playing? And I was like, Guardians of the Galaxy. They don't look like the Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm like, no, it doesn't look like Chris Pratt and Batista, but they don't look like them. They don't look like them in the comics either.
Exactly.
Oh, well, they sound like them. Yeah. You guys, you don't get it. You don't get expanded universe media.
So did you keep the money or did you pay?
Oh, I haven't even, I tried to pay back at the halal station there, and then things kind of went pear-shaped and we had to get out of there, as so many of the missions do end so far in that game. But I haven't had the option to give the money back yet.
Okay.
I'm just asking. Hard to say. I don't know if I will or I won't. If they give me the option, we'll see.
Sounds good.
Like you can't really buy anything with the money, can you?
I don't think so. I think you can only find the suits. It's just like a sub story per se.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll probably give the money away because it has no value to me. But if it was like the difference between me getting a bunch of new weapons.
Yeah, well, of course.
I mean, we're the gardeners of the galaxy.
That's right.
I got to make that money. Yeah.
All right. So let's jump right into this, because I was severely let down by this announcement. Like, all through Twitter for the past week, everywhere you go, oh, PlayStation's going to reveal its Game Pass rival. Oh, the Game Pass killer's coming. So they announce it, and I'm reading through it, and I'm like, okay, well, this sucks. So there's going to be three tiers. Okay.
Okay.
So the first tier is the just the PS Plus Essentials. Yeah. Which is going to cost $9.99 a month, or $24.99 for 3 months. And basically all that is what we currently have with PlayStation Plus. Like you don't get anything out of it. Besides what's already included with PS Plus. Then you get into the PS Plus Extra, which will include an additional library of 400 downloadable PS4 and PS5 games, such as Death Stranding, God of War, Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Mortal Kombat 11, Returnal, and more. And then the price point for that is going to be $14.99 a month, $39.99 for 3 months, or $100 for the year. And then you get PS Plus Premium, which adds an additional, like on top of the 400 games already for the second tier, you're getting an additional 340 games, which includes streaming only on PS3 games, which I guess isn't so bad. I don't know yet, but it's going to be all cloud gaming. And then classic games from original PS1, PS2, PSP. And the price of that is $17.99 a month, $50 a month, every quarter, or $120 for the year. I have a problem with this because, first of all, where the fuck is the Vita? there's no Vita at all. Like they've just completely, it's just like the Vita is the redheaded stepchild. It's almost like, I get that there's that back pad, but I mean, the PS5 haptic feedback controller could act as that pad. I don't know why they're not doing it, but
yeah.
And then you also get access to timed demos. So you're basically paying to have to play demos. I don't know.
Well, you know, that's all in for say $4 a month, for an extra $4 a month over what you pay for Game Pass. You're getting, what, 700 games?
Yeah, but you're also not getting anything day one, and we'll get into that in a second, because Jim Ryan tweeted a few minutes after, because people had noticed that there was no day one games, but we'll talk about that shortly. But
yeah, so I feel like, yeah, like Xbox is pushing the service more to, Xbox is doing more to push it ahead as a current service, something that you buy that you can use for new games, like something that will keep their hardware moving forward, while Sony is using it more as a collection of, look at the good old days, look at all of this old stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But if you're a collector like you or I, like, I mean,
it means nothing
because no. There's the accessibility, like, I don't have to plug in two cables to play my PS2. I can do it on the cloud. But I mean, every game that I have on PS2, I personally can't see them putting like an abundance of role-playing games because Sony's focused on like their single, like, I mean, they're all single player games, but they want that. They want those games that you're going to have an experience with. Like, I don't know, maybe they'll have all of the library. I mean, I think the PS2 is the biggest library of all the game, like all the systems. There's like what, 1700 games or something.
Yeah, it's ridiculously big.
So,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of it is like just filler titles, but I don't know. Like, if I really wanted to go play my PS2 clunky graphics and everything, I would see if I could get it, first of all, from the Vita store before it closes, or plug it into a smaller TV so that the characters don't look stretched. But I mean, there's actually a lot of games on the PS2 that still, well, they don't hold up graphically, but the graphics are still pretty impressive for like an old system like that. PlayStation 1 basically is unplayable. Like I cannot put a disc in and play blocked Final Fantasy 7, like all
really?
The triangles and stuff. It's just, I can't do it.
Yeah, you have to remember is that 32-bit was the first real generation that did polygons, right? So there was lots of missteps and there was lots of, well, the graphics were clunky and the controls were clunky, but there was a lot of really innovative ideas came out of that generation too. Stuff that they would never even bother trying today, but still stuff that made some pretty interesting games. Mm. Like, I don't know how I feel about it. See, I'm already paying for Game Pass.
Well, and that's the thing for me.
And
like,
you have to think like, if you're paying for one service, like for people who are just PlayStation owners, yeah, sure, why not? Yeah. Now that service, their Game Pass basically, does that include all current PS Plus perks? Like the two free games a month and the...
So what it says is, this is being quoted from Video Games Chronicle because that's the site that I use for everything. Like, it's not that I don't trust IGN, but I don't trust IGN. It just says the new service will launch for PS4, PS5 starting in June, structured across three payment tiers. PS Plus Essentials offers the same benefits as the current PS Plus service with monthly free games discount and online multiplayer. So it's that's the first tier. That's basically what you have currently. It's just they're merging PlayStation Now into that.
Okay.
And then you have your two other tiers that includes more. It's almost like... and like I might get raked for saying this, but I was talking with Drew from Inside the Game about this before we had known exactly what this service was. Nintendo did the same thing. Oh, you want 64 games? Okay, well you got to pay this much more. Oh, you want Sega? Now there's an expansion pack for that, and it costs this much. And they're arguably the worst of the three streaming services. Like I Nintendo's more focused on their single player games, which I have all three of the current systems. I never ever, I don't even message my friends on Switch. I'll message my friends on Game Pass, I'll message them on PS5, but I will only ever use the Switch for multiplayer if I'm playing Minecraft Dungeons with my daughter. Otherwise everything's done through Game Pass or single player on PS5.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Is this a Game Pass killer? Absolutely not. This doesn't even come close to what Game Pass offers. That being said, like now that I'm had time to read it, it is a little bit pricey, especially like you said, if I had to choose between PlayStation Plus Essentials, it's a stupid name. I think they should just call it Spartacus or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, if I had to choose between that and Game Pass, I'm sticking with Game Pass just because, like you said, I don't really do anything multiplayer on PS5. It's like for Horizon and Returnal. And if I'm going to play multiplayer, I'll pull out Game Pass.
You know, I'll be honest too. Like, if you're paying like a premium, like so Sony's got, whatever the count is, right? All in 700 older games or whatever. How much of that is shovelware?
Well, that's
how much
that's
of the word that is shit that you're just never going to play. Like I gotta be honest, like I would like to see more stuff on Game Pass, but they're always getting new stuff. Right. And we do get the day one stuff, but even at the bottom of the Game Pass list, there's stuff that I would just never touch. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, we got 700. Yeah. But you don't want to drive. It's like in Gran Turismo, you know, you have like, they're boasting, oh, 1,000 cars. Yeah. But 600 of them are like Toyota sedans.
And you have to pay to get them.
Honda four beaters. Actually. Yeah. I was just listening last night, watching a YouTube video actually. And it was like an in-gaming news type thing. And the guy was talking about how, Polyphony Digital actually added these super aggressive microtransactions after all of the reviews had gone in for the
exactly.
game.
And then
so it got really good reviews, right? And once all of the ink was dry on the reviews, they added these microtransactions, which were just like ridiculously arrogant. And then when the gaming community told them, like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is BS. They're basically like, well, you don't like it, take your ball and go home, because this is what it is. And then they turned around and actually reduced the amount of money or experience or whatever you get for driving cars. So now it takes even longer to grind for.
Well, and currently,
like, fuck it's you.
It's the worst. Like, again, like I'll go on Metacritic. This isn't a plug towards Drew and the guys over at Inside the Game, but they're 99% of the time bang on with their reviews. But Metacritic, currently the user score for Gran Turismo is a 1.8.
Well, yeah, I saw that.
And
actually,
that's the reason.
That's the problem with Metacritic, is that when everybody can agree that something is good, they can agree that it's good. But review bombing gives them the opportunity to basically show that Metacritic isn't a meter stick for how good something actually is. All it tells you is how popular it is.
Well, and that's like, so Horizon got review bombed because it came out 3 days before Elden Ring, and then Elden Ring got review bombed. Basically lots of zeros because the game was too hard. Like, you know, and this is the thing, like, you know exactly what you're getting. The second you hear From Software, you know what kind of game you're getting. You're not going to be getting some easy walk in the park. Even the most basic grunts, two hits and you're dead, in Elden Ring. And everyone's like, oh, you got to get good. I hate that term. And that's why I told you yesterday when you said you kept dying in those QTE things in Guardians of the Galaxy. And I said, oh, you got to get good. I don't like that term. I just think it reminds me too much of Larry the Cable Guy.
Well, the thing is though, is that I've played like almost all of the the From games, and you do have to practice. There's no secret codes or anything. There's some exploits like for souls and stuff. I remember there was a soul farming. There was a soul farming thing that I used, a trick that I used on Dark Souls 2, where you kill the giant king for millions of souls at a time. And I think that, like, I played it, I got to the end of the game, and then I just went back there and I just wanted to buff out my character. But I got my character to something like level 250 and it still didn't matter. I can still be like effed up by this or that. Mm-hmm. Like, you still need to know how to play. And I mean, Sekiro, my Sekiro Odyssey is like a thing of legend. You know what I mean? I played it. I absolutely got my ass handed to me. I shelved it for a year, and then I ended up coming back to it because I just couldn't stomach the fact that I didn't beat it. Right. So I came back, and then once I actually played it and I studied it and I actually got good at it, I beat it like seven more times, and I platinum the game. So it was an investment in time and skill though.
And you're ringing.
There's a phone ringing in my house. Why is there a phone ringing in my house? 1 second. I'll be right back.
Did it.
And once I got good, I ended up, platinuming it, but it took me a long time to actually do, But it was only because I was stubborn and I accepted the challenge. And I said, okay, if this is what it's going to take to do this, to see everything there is to see, then this is what I'm going to do. Like, it was a challenge. It wasn't just like lots of games nowadays even have like a narrative mode or a story mode where the combat is severely ratcheted down and you can just walk through the game. But the thing about those games is that the real brilliance doesn't happen when you're this all powerful, you know, like when you get to the end of the game and you can absolutely one hit anything that comes along. The real magic is in the point when you're evenly matched with an opponent and it's all down to that one sliver of health. And it's all about who can juke who and who can actually get that last hit. You know what I mean? And the thing is too, is that just walking through a game, you never really get that sense of victory. Like there were so many times in Sekiro where I felt like I had actually earned something, like I had done something, because I'm not a particularly great gamer, you know, and there's going to be lots, you know, in before people say, oh, Sekiro is so easy, I just kicked that game's ass, I don't see what everybody says the big deal is. Yeah, that's fine. You're a jerk, but whatever. Not everybody is like that. Mm-hmm. The same way that people would tell me that it was so hard that they couldn't finish it. Well, there's lots of times I thought, well, that maybe I wouldn't finish it, but I just kept pushing. So if you want to see the things that Miyazaki has to offer, you're just going to have to work at it. Yeah. That's the long and the short of it. So accessibility speaking, yeah, it does sort of suck for some people that they can't play what is arguably, or not even arguably, the greatest game of the year, but you're just going to have to invest the time. You're going to have to understand that death and failure is a part of the process. And that's how you get better.
Yeah.
I have no sympathy for people who just want to walk away from it. Like, man, just push yourself. You'll feel so good when you actually do it. I promise you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and that's just it. And the funny thing is that's probably the only game of the soul style games that I don't own. I don't know. I even have Hades on the Switch, like, mm-hmm. And then there's that new game that just came out called Tunic that's getting review bombed because people said it's too hard.
Yeah.
That I didn't know that. We'll get back on topic shortly, but I didn't even know that was a Canadian game. Like it was,
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. It was developed here and well, not here, but it was developed in Canada. So getting back to this whole Game Pass killer, a follow-up tweet that came out, and then there's actually another tweet that just came out. So this is good. This is great. Like there's a lot of material here. PlayStation CEO Jim Ryan has said in an interview that Sony games could suffer if they were added to PlayStation Plus on day one. And again, this comes from Video Game Chronicles. When asked about adding new Sony first-party titles to the service in the game, similar to what Microsoft does with its Game Pass, Ryan said, the CEO of Sony, Jim Ryan, said, this is not a road that we've gone down in the past, and it's not a road that we're going to go down with this new service. We feel that if we were to do the games that we make at PlayStation Studios, the virtuous cycle will be broken. The level of investment that we need to make in our own studios would not be possible. And we think the knock-on effect of the quality of games that we would make would not be something that gamers would want. Why do you think that?
Bullshit.
Like, you know what?
Yeah. That's BS. That's
why? Alone, like, and he's always, but you know what? I will give credit where credit is due. The fact that because I'm a Sony guy, like through and through, the fact that we are getting something that down right now, it's not even comparable to Game Pass, but down the road, they're going to be tweaking it because there's going to be a lot. I guarantee you with not releasing day one stuff, day one doesn't have to be first party studios. None of the Xbox stuff that's released right now, oh, mind you, they don't have any first-party studios besides Halo that came out. Starfield will be.
Pretty sure Forza Horizon was a day one, too.
No, but what I mean is, like, all the stuff that's coming out day one isn't from a first-party studio. Like they're
no, not, they've got lots. Yeah.
They have lots, but they're like, for him to say that, like, why not? Like, I mean, just say, for example, say this came out, like, we won't, I guarantee you, we won't see God of War Ragnarok day one. There's no way. They're going to want people pre-ordering it. They're going to want all the collector's editions. Mm-hmm. And again, that's what Sony does. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to buy an Xbox game that I can get on PlayStation. Again, not because of any reason, but like, other than the fact that, mind you, I'm shooting myself in the foot when I say this, because like, I have Final Fantasy 9, 10, and 12 across three systems and three companies. So, but I don't know. I like, okay, here's say, what the heck? It just came out. I want it so bad too. And I'm just holding off, Ghostwire Tokyo. Like there's nothing saying that they couldn't do something like that as a day one. It's not a first party studio. They're owned by Microsoft, and it was an exclusive time deal that came before the purchase happened with Xbox and Bethesda. But you don't have to put a first party studio title out. If you're that worried about it, there are a vast amount of other games that you could just drop day one. Like the only day one release we got was Shadow Warrior 3. And that was before this whole thing. I played the first one. I thought it was hilarious. It's like a Asian Duke Nukem Doom kind of game.
Doom Nukem.
Doom Nukem.
Doom Knuken Nukem.
Deuce Nukem, John St. John's son.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that you can't, it just, I don't know. I don't understand his thought process on that. And like, I'm sure we'll be getting into more, like, I would love to have Drew on at some point to, like, down the road when this has been out for a little bit and people can test it out and see what they actually think about it. Cause as of right now, like, we still don't really know much about it, other than that we've got the price point. It's coming out in June. And there are supposed to be a couple other big announcements coming from Sony in the next couple of days. So we'll see what happens. But Clayton, are you going to like get, you have a PS4 though. I mean, you can still get it on PS4, but are you going to try this service out to see what it offers?
Yeah, I would try it out. But like I said, I'm not the type of person who buys like a whole bunch of different live service things like that. Like at the house, we have Netflix and Disney Plus. And honestly, there's a good enough balance to warrant paying for both of them. Because we've got kids and whatnot, but one of us pays for the Netflix and the other one pays for the Disney Plus, right? I can't, it's weird to say this. I don't know, maybe it's because I'm from an older generation, but having multiple live game services that you pay for seems like a waste, because every time I'm sitting there playing my, you know, one of 700 games on the PlayStation, I'm not, you know, my Game Pass is sitting idle. If I get really into a game and play it for 3 weeks, well, then my money that I spent on Game Pass is a waste. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I will say that I have been using Game Pass a lot. I actually haven't been playing a whole lot of games at all lately.
You're playing Guardians for free. Well, and that's
Guardians
the other thing.
Galaxy.
Like, people are under the assumption, like, It's an amazing deal, but when I hear somebody say, it's free on Game Pass, it's not free on Game Pass. You're paying for Game Pass. It's not free.
Yeah, you are. But if you consider the fact that I'm going to play Guardians of the Galaxy for, say, 3 weeks, and I am playing it for $14.
You're essentially, you know what Game Pass is? Game Pass is Blockbuster. Yes, yeah. I said it. And that's what, in a good way, like, okay, I'm done with it. Now it's not sitting on my shelf taking up space. Now, I'm a collector. You're a collector of the older stuff. Mm-hmm. But when that inevitability happens where something goes down, like, again, PlayStation halfway through PlayStation 3's life, everything became loaded off the disc, but you still needed to have internet to do it. Like, even though I have physical media for PS4 and PS5, unless there's an offline mode, a lot of those games are going to be useless if something happens to technology. Whereas, like, say we still have power and stuff, I can plug in my PS1 and my PS2 and play old school games, and video games will be the currency that we'll be trading video games for gas.
Yeah.
But yeah, for water. Myself, I'll probably try it out. Like, it would take a lot to get me away from Game Pass. And as it is, like, if I would do a trial, like a month trial, just to see.
Yeah.
And if, well, if they're smart, worthwhile, then I would get the year. But the thing is it's not one of those things. Like, I always set it and forget it. I always think of that Ronco toaster thing where you set it and forget it, and the turkey's just spinning around inside. Yeah. This. You still got to think about it. Like, game, and the one thing that Sony is doing right that Microsoft should learn from: you can't get anything more than 3 months of Game Pass. Unless you buy four 3 month things. Sony is doing a year at $120. That, because Game Pass Ultimate, which is what I use because I have it on my PC and Xbox, is $59.99 or whatever. It's more expensive to get that than to do that every 3 months than it is to buy a year of the PlayStation Essentials. Yeah. So this might force Microsoft to reevaluate how they do their
but they can, right? They're already well established. They can just tweak it. But what Sony should be doing is they should be offering a month of free Essentials,
a trial, to entice
everybody who's already a PS Plus subscriber.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least that, because the money that you're you're going to have everybody's going to want to get it. And then even if you only have an uptake of 50% afterwards, you still have your PS Plus subscribers. And now you have 50% more people with this new Essentials bundle. So it makes sense to me. Like, it seems like they don't want to open up their wallets and spend the money, but they're so anti-consumer. Like, they're just so anti-consumer all the time. And everybody like beats on Microsoft for not having exclusives, but that's like the only, thing that I can put against them.
Yeah.
Because they're like, Game Pass has been awesome, you know, and Microsoft are doing everything that they possibly can to hang on to whatever market share they have. So if you're an Xbox gamer right now, things have been pretty great. Like, because they're willing to do whatever it takes to get your business. And meanwhile, Sony's like,
10 years later, they're just getting in. Well, they've always had the PlayStation Now, but like the Vita, it was like this afterthought. They're like, yeah, let's do a streaming service.
Yeah,
if you have a crappy internet, when we first moved here, we just had like basic stuff. And I mean, I know that it's not going to stream properly, but like, I had a hard time streaming Knack. Like, and I think that's going to be the downside to not being able to download PS3 stuff. Now, it is a much older software. So streaming might be the only way that they could do it, because we're sort of seeing backwards compatibility, but being able to put my my PS1 in a PS3 or PS4 system and playing it that way instead of digging out my PS1, which now you can't really do that anymore. So
yeah, I have, I play some stuff. I tried the cloud gaming option on Game Pass a few times. I was playing Dirt 4, Dirt 5. I can't remember which one. It's good, and it plays good and it plays smooth, but the graphics do suffer a little bit. You'll notice it looks like it's always kind of buffering a little bit. But it was still cool to see that they had it, that they have the cloud gaming option. Typically what I end up doing is I install the game on the hard drive. I'll play it and then I just ditch it off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At least then it's always there. But it's really nice if you wanted to just try a game and you don't even want to waste the time installing it on your hard drive, you just cloud game it. If it offers it, you get a chance to try it out. And if it doesn't work well, whatever, you're not hanging on to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, other than the fact that, like, if you're downloading a game and you're like, for example, Returnal is a massive amount of space on my hard drive. You download a game, and that's the only downside is, like, even like I just re-downloaded Arkham Knight because I didn't realize that they had come out with a season pass of all these additional stories. I loved Arkham Knight. So, like, getting back into it, it was awesome, but it's like 300 gigs.
What?
Yeah. It's massive. For some reason on the PS5, mind you, it's the game of the year edition. So, like,
still, man, 300 with, gigs. Like, holy yeah. Christ. That's huge.
So, like,
that's like ridiculously huge.
It's bigger. It takes more space than what my PS3 has, like, yeah, in total space. But like, all you have to do is delete it and then save space. Like, that's a good thing about just downloading your games. But and like, as I had mentioned before, another tweet came out from Sony. Sony claims that every major publisher will support the new library. It is unclear if this includes publishers now under Microsoft, such as Activision. But again, Sony's CEO Jim Ryan made the claim during an interview with GI.biz about the newly announced PlayStation Plus refresh, which will see the three tiers. It's currently unclear, however, if that list truly means every publisher, including Microsoft-owned ZeniMax and Activision Blizzard. I can't see, like, the stuff that hasn't been released yet, but
no,
you want to have the old stuff. You want to have that good relationship, I don't see them pulling all this stuff from the Sony library, because
Microsoft is not keeping the lights on by selling copies of Oblivion on their own system. You know what I mean? So older stuff like that, yeah, like ZeniMax is going to have the option. They're going to be putting that on the other consoles, like the PlayStation and the PlayStation service and whatnot. But all that deal does, that acquisition does, is gives Microsoft the ability to cherry pick the projects that they are like, no, I think we want that as an exclusive. So they'll just keep it. You know what I mean? But the older stuff, fuck no, because now they can make money off of it, selling it as a part of their service, as well as they're getting paid for it to be on the Sony service. So win-win, you know what I mean? More money in their pocket.
Yeah.
It's not costing them anything.
Exactly.
And everybody gets a free copy of Battlefield 2042. Have you seen that? The game is terrible.
Dude, I have not, but Scott over at, again, I got to throw up the dollar sign, the cha-ching, cha-ching, but Scott over at Inside the Game, he's a real big fan of that series. And he said that it's gotten better, but not anywhere that it should be.
Yeah.
So
better, relatively speaking, is not like excellent as far as Battlefield is concerned. It should be far and away.
That was a poor analogy. You should have said, like, every person that subscribes to the service gets a free copy of Cyberpunk.
Yeah. Cyberpunk's actually not too bad now.
It's better now. It's better. It should have been.
It's playable. At least now I can get my money's worth out of it. You know what I mean?
And there is some stuff that was never seen in the, like, before, like, in the current gen. I don't refer to PS4 and Xbox One as current gen. Current a lot gen. Of people still do, but current gen is PS5, Xbox Series S and X. There are certain things that were added specifically for that, and they're more blink and you miss it kind of moments. And if you never played it on the PS4 and you come across it, you would never know that it wasn't in the game. But there's, like, shower scenes and stuff now.
But, oh yeah,
there is rumors of the story DLC coming soon. We'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But so that's pretty much it on this three-tiered system. I mean, I don't know. I'm like 50-50. Like, I'll still try it, but I don't, like, there's got to be enough there to keep me wanting to.
Well,
do it.
The price points though are kind of a joke, really. The price points are so close together that, I mean, if you can afford 10 bucks a month, can you not afford 15 bucks a month
or 19?
You
know what I mean?
Or 19 bucks a month. Exactly. The price points are so close that it's like, well, yeah, I could go with the essentials, but I mean, why not just pay the extra $7 or $8 and you know what I mean? Like, so they, and Sony knows that if you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound, basically. Like I don't, I would never, if I was going to pay, what is it? 10 bucks or 12 bucks or whatever for the basic Game Pass package. Why would I not just upgrade to Ultimate for just a few dollars more? It's just, it's simple math, right? You get half of what you get, but if you add just a few bucks, you get twice as much and you get all these extra bells and whistles. Yeah, of course you're going to go with the top tier.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it seems like it. That's what I'm going to do. Like, it's like you said, if you have 10 bucks, like why not just go up like to the top tier and get everything essentially except Vita. Yeah. We won't go back there. Like, I don't know. Vita is probably one of my favorite systems and it just didn't get the love that it deserved.
No,
I don't think. And you know what? I will throw this out. When we go to Toronto in June, I will be looking for, like, I had a massive Vita collection and I very, very stupidly sold 90% of it at a swap. And now it's like almost impossible to find Vita without spending money. Like I got Gravity Rush from Robin at our show. And mm-hmm. It was, I don't know why I showed that to you, but it was 95 bucks.
Wow.
So like finding stuff like that is difficult. And again, Sony has always talked about, oh, we want to preserve gaming history. You're going about it the wrong way by not including every system. I don't know if it was just that because the Vita didn't sell like they expected. They're just like, oh, screw it. We're going to just try and write it off like it didn't happen.
I haven't looked at the actual list of games or anything, or even if they have one on there, but are they planning on having VR support on that? Like, are there going to be VR games on there?
There's VR games currently available for PlayStation Plus. So I don't see why it wouldn't, especially with PlayStation VR 2, like being shown and everything, you'd think that they would be offering that kind of support. It doesn't actually say anywhere on the news article. And see, here's another thing that just popped up. Analysts react: PlayStation Plus won't have the pull of Game Pass without day one releases, and that's going to be the thing that we just talked about as well. Mm-hmm. That PlayStation's going to have to go back and evaluate this at some point and say, okay, we have the majority no other system can touch Sony when it comes to sales. In a couple of years, you'll see that number drop. Like they're predicting Xbox will get a 7% gain on PlayStation, but they'll still be behind. Mm-hmm. But again, Xbox doesn't care about selling you an Xbox, Microsoft. They want to sell you Game Pass. And that's the nice thing. I have an amazing, I'll show our YouTube viewers, but I've got the 20th edition controller. I don't know how it's going to turn up in the screen because my light's on, but it's the OG Xbox colors from so it's see-through. I can just turn that on, go on Game Pass on my PC and play. And that's what Xbox and or Microsoft wants to do. They want to sell you Game Pass and cloud
gaming. not just PC either, mobile
phones. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I haven't gotten into mobile yet. Well, I shouldn't say yet. I don't know. Every time I think of mobile, I think of like Candy Crush Saga and Angry Birds.
Yeah, I know, but they have that's a whole other subject, but they also have that backbone controller, which basically turns your phone into a Steam Deck or a Switch, right? Like they all they need is the service. They give you the peripheral, right? But they sell you the service and then they'll just put it on anything. They put it on your TV. Like, you know what I mean? And get a smart TV with Game Pass. Can you imagine that?
Sony tried that with their own phone, like Xperia. They tried to do that, and it's just like, again, it's like if something doesn't grab immediately, oh, it's not worth our time. We're just going to scrap it, and that's
and
it.
They just, yeah, Sony have never been innovators. They give awesome games, and that's,
yeah,
that's basically what they,
and that's
they
that's get. Their focus. And the our next podcast will be talking about the first party studios, because there's rumors of an acquisition, but we won't talk about on that on this one. This one I wanted to just, you know, focus on the news that came out. Like I was all ready to start talking about this and talking about streaming services, and if we have time to record another episode, I'll edit this part out now, but if we have time to record another episode after this one, we'll talk about more streaming devices, because we just got another one. So we'll, and yeah, it's just for a single game, but we'll, it, like, if you have time, we'll get into that, because I'd love your thoughts on that one as well. But yeah, I don't know, like for me personally, I just, like, this is almost like 10 years too late kind of thing,
yeah,
that Sony's doing. Yeah. They have the market for the single player games. That's what they're known for. They've made it clear that they're not going to be doing first party day one releases, which is disappointing, but I honestly think that we will start seeing day one releases when they see the initial numbers that aren't as high as they probably hoped or expected to see.
Well, can you imagine, like, they have the Sony Plus service out for a year or something, and then some really, really big, big game comes out or is coming out.
God of War.
God of War, or maybe not that soon, but say in a year or something, something else really big is coming out.
Yeah.
And they're at like a game show or like an award show or whatever, and they're doing the, you know, the teaser trailers or whatever, and then at the end it's like available only on PlayStation 5, and then it fades out, and then it fades right back in, available day one.
Yeah, exactly.
People would fucking lose their minds. You'd have to be scraping people off the ceiling. They would freak right out. So that's an ace that they can have, like,
yeah,
to whip up a ridiculous amount of they're showing you that they're bringing out this live service, but I hope that they're not tipping their hand. I hope that
you know what? You're still going to have those hardcore collectors that will still pay top price for a physical release. And I know, because I'm one of those.
Like, oh yeah. Yeah. Me too.
Like you'll still, like, I think that this is a big mistake that they're doing, where they're not going to do first party releases day one. I'll get it. And if I leave it sealed on my shelf and I can get it for $120 for a year for like a whole bunch of games, I'll do it. Sorry if my wife listens to this once it goes up, but that's how it is. All right. So we are going to end it there, because, there's a lot to talk about with some other subjects, but, where can people find you, Clayton, besides Discord, because you still don't fucking have it?
I have so many things that I have to do. I need to start making myself like a to-do list of stuff. I got people that I need to get in touch with. I got fucking chores that need to be done. I got so much stuff to do.
Glenn of War.
I actually had it back up on the tablet there the other day. I was looking at it. I may start from scratch. I don't know. I'll see. I've been doing a lot of, not animated stuff, but I've been like, I was doing a lot of painting, and now I'm back to, I'm getting into like comic booky type stuff. And that kind of is right up that alley, and I've got a good bit of practice now. So I'll probably take another run at it. I'll go over the line work of the picture that I have one more time. And if I just can't see the image, I'll scrap it and I'll go back to one of my other concepts. Cause I had some pretty good concepts for that. It wasn't.
All you really have to do is just have a picture of have a print of him. I got it. Standing in front of Bobby's store, humming and hawing over every single deal, and then not pulling the trigger.
Yeah, you said briefcase guy as like a superhero, so I pictured this ninja with like briefcases on.
That works too. It's like you should just have retrocase games sign, and then have
there you go. You know what? That'll work better because I'm still working off the old Caruso Club background. Yeah,
we'll give Bobby some props. Maybe he'll throw us some free games. No, I'm just kidding. But like. Have Glenn standing in front of Retro Chase, like all stealthily with two briefcases, handcuffs to each hand.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, and where can people find this kind of art and whatnot, paraphernalia?
The _iron_hobo is really the only place on Instagram. I'm not really doing it anywhere else.
Yeah. You're not really active on Twitter anymore.
No, like that's what I mean. Like I have to maintain all of these different social media platforms. So I'm like, I'll just fall back onto Instagram for right now and I'll just keep on putting stuff up there.
But I don't even really use Facebook for the podcast anymore. Like,
no,
I don't get nearly as much traction or interaction as I did.
I don't,
so I just use Instagram.
I don't put most of my art up on Facebook either. Some of it because it's getting into like dark fantasy art and Facebook wants to ban me all the time. But I try to post pretty steady on there. So.
Awesome. Well, we'll wrap there and we gotta get Adam out of exile at some point. It's nice chatting with you, but it's good to have a third perspective, especially like he's really knowledgeable and like, especially when it comes to Nintendo and like he could give his thoughts on their streaming service and how he feels that it would compare against, there's no comparison against like Game Pass and PlayStation. But I mean, we'll get him on. I know they've been sick for the past little bit, so he's just trying to get his energy back, but anyways, thank you for listening and we will see you again in a week's time. Take care, everybody.